Well, please take up your Bibles again and turn with me back to Luke's Gospel and chapter 2. The passage we'll be considering this morning is from verse 25 to verse 35, and the account of this man Simeon, who wonderfully and in answer to his prayers and according to the word that was spoken to him by the Holy Spirit, meets the Lord Jesus Christ as an infant in the temple in Jerusalem. We've spoken quite a lot this last week about the Lord Jesus Christ, both on Tuesday evening and yesterday, and last weekend to some degree as well. And it's right and it's appropriate that we do that, isn't it? Not just at this time of year, but at every time of year. There should never be a time of the year when thoughts and meditations of our minds and our hearts should not be upon our Saviour. Because he's glorious, because he's wonderful, because he has done for us marvellous and wonderful things. Not least of all, he has saved us from our sins and set us in the family of God. What a wonderful, glorious thing that is to consider and to think about. But this morning what I want to do is think about the work not of Christ, but of the Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit was at work in those days, as much as he is today, and as much as he was in latter days, towards the end of our Lord's time and in the time of the apostles. The Spirit is at work. He is at work within God's people. He is at work within believers. Verse 35 of Luke chapter 1 reveals to us that the Holy Spirit of God was the power which was active in the miraculous conception of Jesus. And indeed, when we consider his life, his ministry, all the things that he did, from the manger to the cross and beyond, we find that it is the same Spirit of God which sustained and upheld and enabled him as to his human nature to do the things that God, his Father, our Father, had called him to do. But the Spirit of God didn't begin working in those days. The Spirit of God had been working beforehand. Indeed, from the very creation of the world, the Spirit of God has been at work in this world. But this morning, I want to consider the example of Simeon in these verses in chapter 2 of Luke's Gospel, verse 25 to 35. Simeon, we don't know a great deal about him. This is all that we know about him, these few verses, these 10 verses in Luke's Gospel. He was clearly a man living in Jerusalem at the time of the birth of our Lord and Saviour. A just and a devout man, he is described as a man who was waiting, it says, for the consolation of Israel. Now, the consolation of Israel, we understand that to mean the Messiah. That's a euphemism, if you like, a turn of phrase which was common, and I understand still is in some circles a term for the Messiah. It was Jesus Christ that Simeon was waiting for. Indeed, there were many in those days waiting for the coming Messiah. Sadly, so few of them recognized him when he came. And as we'll see in a moment, we'll maybe understand why that was. But in the midst of everything that was going on in those days, in the first century, with all the political upheaval that was going on in Israel, particularly in Jerusalem, the religious trouble and the rebellions and all kinds of things going on in those days. We had Roman dominance over the land, and the doctrines of the Pharisees and the scribes were leading the people astray. And yet here stands for us, held up to us as an example of true faith and devotion, a man who, we are told, was just and devout. How did this man remain just and devout in the face of such difficulties? Well, the same way that any believer today manages any level of these things. The same way that you and I, as believers, manage any of these things. Any level of faithfulness to God. Only by the Spirit who God gives to us, the indwelling Holy Spirit. And it says here, doesn't it, in verse 25, the Holy Spirit was upon him. Do you know, brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is upon you this morning. If you are a believer, if you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Saviour, then the Holy Spirit of God is upon and within you. And the Spirit isn't, you know, just some ethereal force, something intangible that we can't quite grasp or define or understand. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is a person of the Godhead with the Father and with the Son. He is working to accomplish the purposes of God on earth in believers, in the church today. And looking at this account of Simeon and considering his experience of the Spirit and how the Spirit worked in him, and through him, I want us to consider this morning five aspects of the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of believers, both then and now. And the first of those is that this Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as if we needed a clue, is a spirit of holiness. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of holiness. See, this man was just and devout, verse 25, waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was a just and devout man because the Spirit was upon him. As I said, how do we maintain in our hearts and in our lives any level of faithfulness and holiness before God? We scrabble around in the dirt, don't we? We find our hearts, our minds and our thoughts drawn away to sinful desires and the desires of this world. That's a common thing for believers to find themselves in. And how do we combat that? How do we come against these things? How do we establish any level of devotion to God in our hearts and in our lives? How do we establish any level of righteous living? How do we put to death the deeds and the works of the flesh and the desires of our hearts that are against our God? It is by the empowering of the Holy Spirit. He has given the Holy Spirit to us for this purpose. He has given us everything we need to live lives that are holy and righteous and just. Not perfectly holy and righteous and just, because we can't do that. We still have within us this sinful nature. But as well as that sinful nature that's within us, we have a new nature, don't we? A new life, which is in Christ. And we are being transformed. Believers are transformed. And being transformed, we are being sanctified by the work of the Holy Spirit within us. This spirit of holiness is in you, believer, today. Believe and know that. And remember that each and every morning when you get up in the morning and you remember that the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Remember that His Spirit is upon you. And as you go forth into the day, His Spirit will help you in all that you have to do. In every temptation that comes before you. In every thought that rises within you that is not worthy of someone who is a believer, not worthy of a child of God, the Spirit of holiness, the Holy Spirit, is upon you to help you, to strengthen you and enable you. And that's a wonderfully comforting thing, isn't it? A marvelously empowering thing to know that God has already given you everything you need to live life as His children. How wonderful. He is a spirit of holiness. Secondly, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of prophecy. The Holy Spirit is a spirit of prophecy. Verse 26, it had been revealed to him, to Simeon, by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Simeon, you see, he knew that he would live to see the coming of God's Messiah. Not simply because he hoped for it, or that he hoped for the deliverance of of Israel from Rome, as many did in those days, thinking that the Messiah would come to lead them out of that captivity and into freedom in a national sense. No, Simeon just knew that he would see the Christ. And he hoped for it. Not in a feeble kind of worldly hope, that he wished that was what would happen, but because he knew. And he knew because the Holy Spirit had revealed it to him. There was no question in his mind or in his heart about what the Spirit had said to him. He knew. He believed the word that the Spirit had told him. It had been revealed to him that he would not see death until he saw the Lord's Christ. Now, it is not given to us very often, these kind of prophecies, is it? And it never was a common thing for men and women to receive these kind of foretelling prophecies, where a promise will be given to an individual in such a way. But Simeon was blessed to receive such a promise, such a prophecy. But what we need to have is a proper understanding of what prophecy is. Because the spirit of prophecy is upon us too. There are two aspects, two ways that we understand the term prophesy or prophesying. Foretelling and telling forth. And there is a difference between these. See, foretelling is to tell, declare something before it has happened. To declare something that is unknown before it has happened. Not predictions in the sense of what the world might consider to be telling the future or fortune telling. Nothing like that at all. Because this is the sure decrees of God revealed to man through the Holy Spirit, by his agents, by prophets, by angels, by others, as he sees fit. This is God telling man what's going to happen, not to make man feel good about himself, but for God's purposes. God has done this in the past, and he's done it at specific times. Does God still work? Can God still work in this way today? Yes, he can. But we have to acknowledge That God has revealed everything that he intended to reveal to us. We have the scripture, and the canon of scripture is closed because God has told us everything he wants us to know, not only about the past and the history of God's people, the history of his working in the world, but he's also told us about what's coming. He has given us prophecy. And every time we open his scriptures, we are reading that. So that's foretelling, declaring something which is unknown before it happened. Proclaiming, declaring the decrees of God before they come to pass. The second aspect is the more common aspect of prophesying which we see. That is declaring revealed truth. Declaring the divine will, interpreting his purposes and making known the truth of God. That comes in the form of things like preaching and teaching. It comes in the gospel of redemption. It comes in reading his words. And it is the Holy Spirit working within his people to prophesy and to apply what is spoken, to apply what is read to our hearts, to build us up in faith, to build us up in understanding. Not to puff us up and make us proud, but for the glory of God. For the glory of God. He is a spirit of prophecy. In our passage, this starts with that gracious promise to Simeon that he'll see the Messiah before he dies. And it ends, the passage ends with a series of declarations, doesn't it, regarding Jesus himself, regarding his life and his ministry. Again, things that were revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit. Simeon has these words which he speaks, doesn't he, from verse 29 to 32, where he declares certain things about the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's not doing these things off his own back or out of his own imagination. Many of these things go back to the Old Testament. If you've got a reference Bible or some footnotes, you'll probably find that there's several references in those verses back to Genesis, to Isaiah, and elsewhere as well. Even to the Psalms, where there are prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Simeon, in the power of the Spirit, is telling forth those prophecies. He's applying them to Jesus, even as a child in the temple. And the Spirit was active in these things, just as he is active in the work of the church today, doing the same things, declaring the word of God. The word of God. The word of God which is sufficient. The word of God which is complete. The Spirit works through the word to proclaim it and to lead us in it, just as Simeon did. In that day, to study it, to follow it, where it leads. Can you imagine this man, Simeon? He probably knew every messianic prophecy of the Old Testament, didn't he? If the Spirit had told him, and he was certain that he would see the Christ, the Lord's Christ, before he died, you can imagine he would pore over the scriptures night and day for signs, that he might be able to see the Lord's anointed. And we'll see how the Lord led him, particularly as we come to our third aspect of the work of the Spirit, because the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is a spirit of leading. A spirit of leading. Look at verse 27, where it says that Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple. You see, of all days that Simeon could have come to the temple, of the whole week he could have been there, but it was that day, that particular day, that the Spirit got him out of bed, made sure he'd had his breakfast, and got him out the door, down the street, and into the temple courts, at that particular moment, in that hour, when Mary and Joseph arrived with Jesus to do for him according to the law. I can't imagine they were there very long, the things that they had to do. They come to present him to the Lord. They come to offer sacrifice. I don't know. I suppose it depends on how busy it was at the temple. Maybe an hour, maybe two, maybe they were there. And just, is that a coincidence that Simeon was there? No, he was there because the Spirit led him on that day to be in the temple just at that moment. And of all the children, I mean, let's say it was a crowded day, it was a busy day. Of all the families and all the people that were there, where did the Spirit lead him? To Mary, to Joseph, and to the child that was with them. Matthew Henry puts it like this, I thought this was quite poetic. The same Spirit that had provided for the support of his hope, that's Simeon's hope, now provided for the transport of his joy. Where else would Simeon have expected to meet Jesus but in the temple? Wonderfully, gloriously, the Spirit led him there. And the Spirit leads us today, sometimes in similar kinds of ways. Have you ever been in the right place at the right time to witness to somebody unexpectedly? To help somebody unexpectedly? Just because you took that certain turn, or you didn't leave home quite at the right time that day because something happened, and you met somebody that you wouldn't have otherwise met, you spoke to somebody you wouldn't have otherwise spoken to. There are no coincidences. For God has ordained every meeting. God has ordained every part of our lives. He has provided for us good works for us to walk in. And by the Holy Spirit, he leads us in those things. Just as he led Simeon to the temple that day. Fourthly, the Holy Spirit is a spirit of revelation. Because it would do no good for the Spirit just to have led Simeon into the temple and left him there, would it? I'm sure there were many, many people, even many children, in the temple in that day. But what does Simeon, how does he respond? In verse 27, he says, he came in the Spirit in the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms. He blessed God. I mean, just think about that for a moment. There's Mary and Joseph with the infant Jesus, and this complete stranger walks up and picks up their son. Imagine that came as a bit of a shock. A bit of a surprise. I wonder if there was a moment of panic. A moment of worry. What does this man want? What does he mean? But look what Simeon says. Verse 30, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Because the Spirit took him to Jesus, brought him to him, showed him to him, said to him, that's the one. And whatever it was, however the Spirit did that and convinced Simeon of the truth of those things, the truth of who this child was, who he would be, what he would do, graciously the Spirit revealed the truth to this man, just according to his promise. And in some whisper of the spirits, the family was identified and the child, the one promised. and so moved with Simeon in the spirit that he couldn't help himself. I mean, I'm sure he thought it was a bit awkward when he did it, but he steps forward and he takes the child in his arms and he holds him. He can't help himself. Because here is the Lord's anointed. Here is the consolation of Israel. Here is the Saviour of the world. I imagine he was overcome. What a response. And what about Mary and Joseph's response? What did they think of these things? Verse 33, they marvelled at the things that were spoken of him. All the things that they'd already heard and seen and experienced before Jesus' birth. The angel appearing to both of them. The experience that Mary had with Elizabeth when she went to see her. The events around Jesus' birth. And now this, when they bring him to the temple, when they bring him before the Lord, here's this man who testifies to the gospel, who testifies to the Lord Jesus Christ, who recognized and acknowledged him. Because recognizing and acknowledging Jesus for who he is, Lord and Saviour and King and God, is not simply just a matter of intellectual assent. It's not simply a matter of reading the scriptures and understanding what they mean and saying, yes, I agree with that. It's a matter of the Spirit, because it's a spiritual truth and it has to be spiritually discerned, and only the Holy Spirit of revelation can reveal the person of Christ. That's why though so many were looking for Jesus, so many were looking for the Messiah in those days. They missed him, or they rejected him, because he was not revealed to them by the Spirit. And that's the reason so many people don't believe in him, don't acknowledge him today. Because they haven't received the Holy Spirit. Because God, by his Spirit, has not opened their eyes yet. We pray, that should be our prayer, shouldn't it? Our fervent prayer, that he opens the eyes, that the Spirit comes upon our friends, our family, our parents, our sons, our daughters, grandchildren, nephews and nieces, uncles and aunts, brothers and sisters, neighbours, colleagues, that by the Holy Spirit, God would open their eyes and reveal to them the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he revealed him to Simeon in that day in the temple. Pray that the people would see, that they would see him in the Spirit, that they would rejoice, that the apathy of this world towards Jesus Christ and towards the gospel would be replaced by a spirit of rejoicing. That same satisfaction, that same joy, that same overwhelming joy that Simeon expresses in his actions and his words in this passage, when he sees the salvation of God. Well, we have the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of prophecy, Spirit of leading, and a Spirit of revelation, fifthly and finally. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of glory. The Spirit of glory. Look at verse 32. A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, the glory of your people, Israel. And then the words from verse 34 in which Simeon blesses Mary and Joseph. Behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, for a sign which was spoken against in the Spirit. Simeon gives glory to God and to Jesus Christ, declaring with those prophetic references we mentioned earlier the results of his coming into the world, the purpose of his ministry and his death, the salvation of the Lord, a light to the Gentiles, the glory of Israel, and referring to his rejection, a sign to be spoken against. So many would reject him, and so many still reject him today. He is absolutely a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense to many. To the one, the gospel is the aroma of death leading to death, but to the other, the aroma of life leading to life. Words of the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. But this Spirit is the Spirit of glory, who comes to reveal the glory of God in the gospel to men and women, boys and girls, just as he did all those years ago. He continues to do so today. Christmas time should be all about Jesus. And it is the Holy Spirit who testifies to us about him and works in us to holiness, teaching and leading us, revealing his glory to us and in us as the church of Jesus Christ. Let us strive each and every day not to quench the Spirit that he has given to us and set within each and every one of us. Those who believe in his name, those who are called, but instead allow that Spirit, allow him to do his work, all the while praying that he will continue to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to us and to our community, to the world out there, each and every day. May that be our prayer this Christmas time, that as Christ was revealed in the world, he would be revealed today to men and women, boys and girls, to those we know, to our loved ones, to our friends, that the Spirit would open their eyes to their own salvation. Amen. Let's pray.